And when it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposed to him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. I love this. Joshua, he's walking around. He's separated himself. He's the commander of the Israelite army. He's facing the wall of Jericho, and the wall is huge, and he doesn't know how he's going to get around that wall. He doesn't know what's going to happen, so he's out clearing his head. Anybody do that? Just clear your head a little bit so you can think. Remove the distractions from all around you. And that's what he's doing. He's removed the distractions from all around him. And so here he is on this little time alone. And he comes encounter with this man with the sword drawn. It's not just an ordinary man. He's face to face with God. Swords drawn. Looking at him, and Joshua asked him a question. He says, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies? Whose side are you on?" I love this. I love this because here's Joshua. He's in a time of battle. He's looking at the wall of Jericho. He's in a time of need. He's in a time of struggle, and God shows up. Aren't you glad this morning that we have a God that shows up? My God shows up in times of battle, in times of struggle, and in times of need. My God has a way of showing up for me. I look at this passage for the children of Israel. This time, he shows up as a commander of the Lord's army. But the time before that, he showed up and opened up the Jordan River. If you study a little bit more, he showed up before that and he brought water from a rock. Before that, he showed up and brought them. The children of Israel, he brought them manna from heaven. Before that, he made the bitter water sweet. The bitter water is nasty water. He made it sweet again. Before that, he opened up the Red Sea. And before that, he freed them from Egypt. Time and time and time again, God shows up and in a time of need, in a time of struggle. I look at this. And I look back through history, I see him showing up in a fiery furnace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I see him showing up and shutting the mouths of some lions with Daniel. And let me say, I have to remind myself of this. I have to remind Jimmy Johnson of this because sometimes I forget about God's faithfulness. Do you ever do that? Do you ever forget about how faithful God has been throughout your life? And then we have a bump in the road that we're facing now, and we don't know. My God is faithful, amen. And he shows up. Amen. I'm grateful for that. And then Joshua, in all his wisdom, I say that with a smile on my face. In all his wisdom, he asked God a question. He says, "Whose side are you on?" It's important to know whose side you're on. Whose side? Here's Joshua asking God, "Whose side are you on?" I found that there's three sides to every situation. There's my side. And Kathy, I got to be honest with you, I always like to think I'm right. How about you? There's my enemy's side. And I always like to think that they're wrong. That's right. And then the third side, there's my side, there's my enemy's side, and then there's a third side. There's God's side. And when God shows up, my God doesn't show up to take sides. My God shows up to take over. And so when God shows up, he's not showing up to take sides. Seems like we're always asking God to take sides when we realize who God is and what God is all about. What God stands for, we'll be wise enough to quit asking him to choose sides. Because God doesn't show up to choose sides. He shows up to take over. And I got to say that because our family institution, it's in trouble. We look at America, our family, it's messed up. It's messed up. Wife telling on husband. Husband complaining about wife. Kids complaining about parents. Grandparents, well, they're going to side with the grandkids. So parents, you're in trouble. That's just the way it goes. And let me say this. God is not on your wife's side. God is not on your side. Grandparents, I'm sorry, God's not on your side, and he's not on the kid's side either. When all of us get on, when the family decides to get on God's side, you'll all be on the same side because God didn't show up to take sides, and the family showed up to take over the family. The answer's not at the White House. The answer for the family is not at the White House. That was an echo. No. And let me say this, the answer's not at the state house either. And the answer's not at the schoolhouse. The answer is in a church house. Amen. It's by the family unit getting a hold and letting God take over the family unit. We got this disease in the church. I call it a disease. It's called denominationalism. You got some people wanting to make God a Baptist. God's First Baptist. No, he's Second Baptist. No, he's Southern Baptist. No, he's Missionary Baptist. No, he's Pentecost. God's Pentecost. No, he's Catholic. He's Presbyterian. He's Church of Christ. Wearing me out. I tell you what, God didn't show up to take a part of a denomination. God's not Baptist. God's not Christian. God's not Church of Christ only. God's not Pentecost. God's God. And when all the church gets on God's side, we'll all be on the same side because God didn't take time to take sides in churches. He showed up to take over the church. How much better would it be if we just said we want to be on God's side? We're not going to argue about it. We just want to be on your side. I tell you, it's time that we quit trying to make God choose sides, that we show up and say, Lord, I just want you to take over. I want you to take over my life. I want you to take over my family. I want you to take over the church. I want you to take over, Lord. It's not about me. And Joshua, God bless his heart, God has his sword drawn. Look at that. What's it mean? What does it mean when God draws his sword? What's it mean when God pulls his sword out and draws his sword out? That means you don't have to fight. That's right, Philip. You don't have to fight. He's then decided to take care of it himself. He's drawn the conclusions for himself. So he's got us. You think about this. The wall of Jericho, did Joshua have some strategic plan that took care of the wall of Jericho? No. Who took the walls down? Did Joshua have to light a stick of dynamite or anything? No. When God pulls his, there's some battles in life that you're not going to have to fight because God pulls his sword out and he decides to fight it for you. Let me go to 2 Kings chapter 6. I love this story. This is the coolest story. You got Elisha. Elisha's there and he has his servant. He done made the king mad. He had a habit of making the king mad. King was mad at him again and again and again. This time he's mad enough he wants to kill him. So he sends his army out to kill Elisha. And Elisha has it. It's a nice little place down there he has in Dothan. It's a really nice, cute little house there. He's down there, and his servant's in the house, and they're in there drinking some tea. And they look out the window, and the king's army surrounded their little city there. And they're trapped. And Elisha has this little servant with him. And the servant's having problems. Elisha is cool as a cucumber over there, not a care in the world. But then there's that little servant of his. And that little servant's pacing back and forth. He said, oh, I'm going to die today. King's army's up there, and they're going to kill us today. And he's pacing back and forth. Mom told me not to hang out with Elisha, that prophet of God. I'm going to get killed. I'm not going to get to see my mama again. It's all over now. I'm done. It's going to happen right here. And he's whining. He's complaining. He's pacing the floor. And he's crying. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And Elisha finally gets sick and tired of him. He gets sick and tired of hearing his whining. And what's he say? He prays to God and said, Lord, would you just open my servant's eyes and I can see that little servant. I see just fine. I see the king's army all around us. And he said, no, Lord, open his eyes so he can really see. And he opens his eyes up and there's horses and chariots of fire surrounding their place, just waiting on the king's army to come down so they can destroy him. Because when God raises his sword up, you don't have to fight. Aren't you glad of that? Some battles God's already taken care of. No need of you fighting them. And then we get to verse 14. I like this. He says, do you have a message for your what? I like this. You got a word for me? Here's Joshua. He's high up. He's the commander of the Israelite army. He doesn't set his own tent up. Somebody else sets his tent up. And yet he's looking at the Lord and said, hey, you got a message for your servant. Do you have ears to hear what God says? I can talk to my boy, Lucas. Some of y'all met Lucas. He's a long-haired boy, comes and sits once in a while over here with me. He preaches over at Salem, but if he gets his nose in a book, I mean, it's all over. He gets his nose in the book. You can talk to that boy, but he doesn't hear you. You can ask him questions. He's not responding. He's into that book. He's been that way since he was little. He gets into that book, and buddy, that's where he's at. He has selective hearing. I can say, Lucas, let's go work. He's in the book. Now, my daughter, she had selective hearing too. She's right over here. I got to tell you, when I'd say, Kylie, it's time for you to clean your room, it was like selective hearing. She didn't hear a word I said. And sometimes she'd come back at me and say, Dad, you don't understand. I don't need to clean that room. I said, well, yeah, you do, honey. Clothes are about 2 foot tall in there. I can't even walk through it. She said, that's the plan. I said, what plan? She said, if there's an intruder comes in the house in the middle of the night, I'm safe. I'm safe. He'll never be able to get to me. And trust me, he couldn't have. But when I'd say it's time for you to clean your room, it was like selective hearing. I was cut off. But I have this problem too. And men, you can agree, you have this problem too. We could be watching TV, watching the ball game. It's like our wives, they pray on that time. They'll ask, honey, would you weed the flower bed? Yeah, honey, whatever you need, honey. Yeah, that sounds good, honey. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm agreeing to. I just want to watch the ball game. But after the ball game, I realized all the things I said yes to. And ladies, I'm going to tell you, ladies, you have this problem too. But my daddy didn't raise any fool. I'm not going to mess with the ladies of the church. Now, next week, Mark's going to come back, and he's going to explain how you have that problem next week. I ain't touching it. Right. I look at this and I think sometimes when it comes to the Word of God, people have selective hearing. They want to believe some parts and not other parts. How about that? Some people out there, they're trying to make the Bible politically correct. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. And I got to tell you, sometimes the Bible doesn't tell me what I want to hear. And I stumble around about that. Terry, I think it should say what I want to hear. But sometimes it tells me to do things I don't want to do. Anybody else struggle with that? We got to be servants with ears to hear and do. Be doers of the word. Now, Joshua, he's a great commander. A lot of power. Like I said, he's not setting up his own tent. He's not fetching his own tea. He's not even cleaning his own sandals. Somebody else doing that for him. He's got a lot of power. He says, we go here. bunch of people follow him. We go do this. He said, we take this hill, we take this hill. People do what he says to do. He's a commander of an army. He's got a lot of power, but yet he's a servant of God. And we got to talk about being a servant a little bit. Because we're all called to be servants. And in Vegas, there's a church there. I haven't had the privilege of going there to see the church, but I would love to go see the church. There's a church in Vegas. They don't do church membership. They don't do church membership. What they do is they make you an owner. You take a class and you become an owner. And there's a big difference between being a member and an owner. And the big difference is this. When somebody walks in the door of the church, if you're an owner, that's your visitors walking in the door. You go greet them. You're a member. Well, who's gonna catch that person today? There's some trash on the floor. If you're a member, well, I sure hope somebody gets that trash. It looks bad on the floor. If you're an owner, it's your trash on the floor. If you're a member, you say, well, you know what? The toilets are overflowing in the bathroom. But if you're an owner, guess whose toilets are overflowing in the bathroom? Guess who gets the mop and mops it up? Big difference. I believe in the church. We got to learn to be servants. We all have to have a place to serve no matter what age you are, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what season you are in life. You need to be serving. You miss it. You miss a part of a Christian life if you're not serving. You're missing a part of the Christian life that God didn't intend for you to miss. He wanted you to get a hold of and live it, not just to watch it. And let me say a few things about servants. First of all, servants don't always get credit for what they do. I've seen people tripping over who gets credit for what they do. Well, let me say this. At Hillcrest Christian Church, I don't need credit for anything. Charlie doesn't need credit for anything. Corey doesn't need credit for anything. We pray here that God gets credit for what happens here. Amen. It's not about me or you getting credit for it. Servants. Servants aren't always seen. That doesn't make their jobs any less important. Servants aren't always seen, but it doesn't make their jobs any less important. I believe what's happening back in junior church over here. I believe what's happening in the nurseries over here. I believe what happened at church camp this week is just as important as what's happening in here. I believe what's happening, the people that cut the grass, the people that's in the office place. I believe that the people that is serving in places that you don't notice, the floor's getting cleaned and the bathroom's getting cleaned and people out doing things that you don't know anything about. I believe maybe those are the most impactful things for the kingdom. Your job doesn't need to be seen to be important. God sees it, and that's good enough if God sees it. I got to say this, servants don't always get their way. If you're a servant, you don't always get your way. And it's bad because I've seen people in church act like babies. I know you haven't, but I have. I have. I've seen people stomp around and act silly, act like childish because they didn't get their way. They should do things my way because I'm right. And they go around and they pitch a fit. And they whine and they complain and they complain to everybody else. They bring negativity on the church because they don't get their way. Let me say, it's not important I get my way and it's not important you get your way. What's most important is that God gets his way in his church. That's most important. And I don't think he cares what color the carpet is. And I don't care. I don't think he cares whether we have seats or pews. I don't think he really cares. I don't think he cares whether we sing out of a songbook or whether we sing off the wall, as long as we bring our voices to him and praise him. I could preach a whole sermon on this, but let me end with this. Servants need to serve. That goes without saying, but servants need to serve. It's not a spectator thing. And if you're here today and you're wondering how to get involved here at Hillcrest, I want you to come and see me. You just come, call the office, set up an appointment. I promise you. I'll find something for you to do. You can set up an appointment with Darcy or Derek or Mark or anybody. But if you find a place to serve, if you're stumbling with this, I definitely want to talk to you. Because servants need to serve. And God wants your service. And then God told Joshua to do some small thing. Get a hold of this. This is important. Joshua's wanting a word about the wall, right? And so he's out wandering around trying to figure out how to take care of the wall of Jericho, and he's wanting a word about the wall. Is there a crack in the wall where I could slide a stick of dynamite? Is there a trap door somewhere? Is there a hole in the rock somewhere? Lord, is there a weak spot in the wall? Please let me know how to take care of this. And so he's wanting a word about the wall, and what does God tell him to do? I love this. He said, take your shoes off, boy. That's what he says. Take your sandals off. The ground you're standing on is holy. Take your shoes off. Now, Joshua's wanting a word about the wall, but he's talking about his shoes. And Joshua scratches and said, hey, I was looking for a word about the wall, but you're talking about my shoes. Yeah, take your shoes off. You got to understand those little, they don't have, today these shoes, today, they got, I see some ladies and they have heels on their shoes. It's like this big. I guess I can't say anything. I got cowboy boots, and my heel's probably that big on my cowboy boots. But we got big heels, but back in the day, their sole on their shoe was about an eighth of an inch thick. It's just a piece of leather on the bottom of that thing to blunt the rocks. It's just about an eighth of an inch thick. And God's saying, Joshua, I want you to take off your shoes. He said, there's only an eighth of an inch thick. Lord, why should I take off my shoes? God said, I don't want an eighth of an inch to come between me and you. Get those shoes off. Don't you dare let an eighth of an inch come between you and God. Because if you're not careful, little things will keep you from big victories. If you're not careful, little things will keep you from huge victories in your life. Little sins. Little sins you want to hang on to keep you from big victories in your life. People won't wake up in the morning and say good morning to God, but they want God to use them in some great way. People won't come to church, yet they want God to use them in some great way. People too busy in their schedule to even open up the good book and to read a little bit, but yet they want God to use them. You ever heard the old saying, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you... Y'all haven't heard this. This is good. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. The devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. You know anybody that's busy? How about you? How busy are you? And sometimes we get too busy to pray. Sometimes we get too busy to open our Bibles up. Sometimes we get so busy, we say, oh, I'm sorry about that, God. God said, hey, there's no excuse for this. I gave you air to breathe today. Why aren't you talking to me? I think we got way too many people busy now. We got to learn to be faithful in the small things. In the small things. And brothers and sisters, if Joshua can't take off his shoes, that's little. If Joshua can't take off his shoes, there's no way he's going to be able to do what God's going to ask him to do next. I promise you that. He's not going to be able to go where God's going to ask him to go next if he's not willing to take off his shoes. Learn to be obedient in the small things. Whose side are you on? That's where we started this thing. Jim, that's where we started up. Whose side are you on? I got good news for you. God's not on your enemy's side. Got bad news for you. He's not on your side. He has his own side. And when God shows up, he doesn't show up to take sides. He shows up to take over. Shows up to take over. He has his own side. Joshua later on would say, choose you this day who you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve who? Jesus said it this way. He said, you can't serve two masters. You love one, hate the other. Cling to one. Let go of the other. Elijah said it this way. How long Are you going to waver between the two opinions? If God be God, follow him. If not, follow whatever God you're going to follow. Who are you going to serve today? What are you going to choose today? God's not going to come to your side. God's not going to go to your enemy's side. He just wants you to get on his side. That's what he's wanting today. He's wanting you to quit fighting, doing everything yourself. He wants you to come over to his side. He said, don't you think it's time you come over to my side for a little while? I love the way this, Sarah, I love the way this chapter ends. It's really simple, the way this chapter ends. It ends with these three words. And Joshua did. Let's say this together. And
Joshua did.
I like this. What good is it if you hear the word and don't do anything with it? He said, and Joshua did. He did what God told him to do. What good is it? What good is it if you worship and you hear the word of God and yet you leave these doors and you don't do anything with it? What good is it if you don't make decisions that you need to do to become closer to God? What good is it then? What difference does it make? A friend of mine, some of y'all from Orange County, I got some people from Orange County here today. I love it. The sheriff, Richard Dixon, back some time ago, love Richard. I was in his office talking to him, and Darren, no, I wasn't in trouble. I was there just visiting. But I was visiting with Sheriff Dixon, and he, nice guy, and he was laughing. And sometimes his stories were, they're awesome. I love to hear his stories. And he always had a story, I guess police officers do. But this story was pretty cool. He said, I was riding in my police car, and this truck in front of me was all over the road. It was hitting one line and the other line. I thought maybe he was getting a drink or something, so I stayed back there for a little while. But sure enough, that truck was all over the road in front of me. So I flipped on my lights thinking somebody was drinking and driving. He said, that truck pulled over. He said, I walk up to the window, and there's about a 16-year-old boy sitting in the seat, and his girlfriend is sitting right next to him. He said, I saw the problem right away. Had nothing to do with alcohol. He smiled and kind of caught composure of himself, and he looked at the young man and said, well, son, you're kind of all over the road. He said, then I looked at the young lady and said, I think he'll be a much better driver if you sit on the other side of the truck and not so close to him. I say that because maybe we're not sitting where we need to sit. Maybe we come to church and we're not sitting where we need to sit. Maybe we're the ones sitting all the way up next to the door. And God said, come a little closer. No. I don't want to be halfway. Come a little closer. I want you to come close enough that I can get my arm around you and pull you in. I want you to come close enough where you're just sitting right up next to me. You've been distant for way too long. Why don't you come a little closer? I'm not going to come over there. I'm not going to come all the way over on the other side of the truck and get on your side. I'm not going to do that. You need to come over and get on my side. You need to come over and get on my side. And I say that, maybe I'm just preaching to Jimmy Johnson today, but maybe somebody here, it's time that you make some big moves toward God. You've been sitting on the other side of the truck for way too long. Maybe it's time to scoot over a little bit. So this morning, the Bible says where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. And so as we look at that thought, maybe there's something little you need to let go today. You say, it's not huge, it's not big. It's just kind of nagging at me today. There's something I'm struggling with today. It's little, though. I think I can take it. That's not what God tells you to do. He says, cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. So maybe you need to come forward today and just take some time with God. Maybe you need to sit down and pray with him. Maybe you need to kneel down and pray with him. I don't know, however you feel comfortable. Maybe you just need to give something up. Maybe it's just a little thing. You think, well, it really doesn't matter. It matters to God. It matters to God. Maybe you need to figure out your next step a little bit. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. And you can look at it and say, and I did. I went to church in July, and I heard the word, and I did what it said to do. Maybe it's time for you to be baptized. Maybe you haven't made that step yet. It's time. We're ready. Water's in the baptistry. We're ready to go. If you want to be baptized this morning, we're ready. Maybe you want the church to pray about something. Maybe you need to let go of a little sin. Only you and God knows what's going on here. So I want you to think about that as we have prayer and decision you need to make today. Let's pray.